Chapter 98. Ships and bugs, bound in two port, ships and bugs increased their devotion to the bottle, and, to the unspeakable envy of the rest, these jolly companions, earthy partners, as the men called them, rolled about deck, day after day, in the merriest mood imaginable. But jolly as they were in the main, two more discreet tipplers it would be hard to find. No one ever saw them take anything, except when the regular allowance was served out by the steward, and to make them quite sober and sensible, you had only to ask them how they contrived to keep otherwise. Some time after, however, their secret leaked out. The casks of pisco were kept down the after hatchway, which, for this reason, was secured with bar and padlock. The cooper, nevertheless, from time to time, effected a burglarious entry by descending into the forehold, and then, at the risk of being jammed to death, crawling along over a thousand obstructions to where the casks were stowed. On the first expedition, the only one to be got at lay among others upon its bilge with the bunghole well over, with a bit of iron hoop suitably bent, and a good deal of prying and punching, the bung was forced in, and then the cooper's neck handkerchief, attached to the end of the hoop, was drawn in, and out the absorbed liquor, being deliberately squeezed into a small bucket. Bungs was a man after a barkeeper's own heart. Drinking steadily, until just manageably tipsy, he contrived to continue so, getting neither more nor less inebriated, but, to use his own phrase, remaining just about right. When in this interesting state, he had a free lurch in his gait, a queer way of hitching up his waistbands, looked unnecessarily steady at you when speaking, and for the rest, was in very tolerable spirits. At these times, moreover, he was exceedingly patriotic, and in a most amusing way, frequently showed his patriotism, whenever he happened to encounter Dunk, a good-natured, square-faced Dane, aboard. It must be known here, by the by, that the cooper had a true sailor admiration for Lord Nelson. But he entertained a very erroneous idea of the personal appearance of the hero. Not content with depriving him of an eye and an arm, he stoutly maintained that he had also lost a leg in one of his battles. Under this impression, he sometimes hopped up to Dunk with one leg curiously locked behind him into his right arm, at the same time closing an eye. In this attitude he would call upon him to look up, and behold the man who gave his countrymen such a thrashing at Copenhagen. "El look you, Dunk," says he, staggering about, and winking hard with one eye to keep the other shut, "look you, one man hang me, half a man with one leg, one arm, one eye hang me, with only a piece of a carcass, flog your whole shabby nation. Do you deny it, you lubber?" The Dane was a mule of a man, and understanding but little English, seldom made anything of a reply. So the cooper generally dropped his leg, and marched off, with the air of a man who despised saying anything further. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.